Like I said, this morning, I'm going to ask you not to think about, how can I expand that? Don't think about just about you. Don't think about, no, I'm going to talk about the situation the people of God was living in this story. And it's completely connected with the situation the people of God is living today. And I don't want you to think about yourself, but think in general. Think about the body of Christ, the people of God. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant was about the Jewish people. But when you read the Old Testament or Covenant, we see the shadow. We see that what's happening right now is the same. We are the people of God. So they... the Jewish, we are Jewish, we are adopted. We are children of God. We belong to God's family. So that's why I when I read stories from the Old Covenant, Old Testament, I learn a lot. And I create a parallel with today because it always brings to the New Covenant. And when we are talking about the body of Christ, which is, I believe, that God is calling us to be a strong church to help and support the body of Christ. I don't know how that's going to be. What I believe, and then like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, they got a calling to teach the word. That's one way. When we teach the word, we are equipping the body of Christ to, and they will become stronger if they put into practice, of course. So God is putting in my heart to pray for the kingdom, to pray for the body of Christ. So I'm encouraging you as the pastor of this church. This is what He wants for us. To be strong, to be able to help the body of Christ and help the others, of course, the unbelievers. The story I'm going to share is just simple. I like to share stories that at least most of you know about it. And this is the time of Gideon. The time of Gideon was a time that the Israel, the people of God, they didn't have a king. Just judges were there. They didn't have a king. And they were living in a miserable life. The people of God, they were living a miserable life. And if you read, if you want to read with me in Judges 6. Verse 1 says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. If I stop here, I will start thinking like so many people think. So God, is God a God of love? Because see, He gave them to the hands of the Midianites. But when I was reading before Judges, when you read Deuteronomy, when you read Joshua, when you read the scriptures before the Judges, we see what God was teaching them. And we also see that God is giving them choices, free will. You can choose whatever you want. Because God will never bring you in a position of like under pressure of, no, you have to do my way. If you don't do my, no, He teaches us and He helps us, of course, to walk the way He's teaching us. But He's not forcing us. We are not robots. That's the free will, choices. And again, choices, choices. And the people of Israel, which was the people of God, they were suffering especially because of something really important. And I believe I can connect it with the Church of Christ today. So when I'm speaking, you always connected with the church, the general, not you, your life, but the body of Christ today. So they were suffering. If you keep reading here, so verse 2 says, because the power of the medium was so oppressive. If you read the story, you see the people of Israel living in caves and cliffs, like hiding themselves. Gideon was taking the wheat the way they usually do, but he was doing that in a place that they're supposed to deal with grapes. He was doing it because wheat they do in an open field. But he was hiding himself, scared, because every time they produce something, the crops, the animals, and everything, the Midianites was coming and destroying everything. That's why I say it's a miserable life. It's terrible. Trying to build something, growing animals, sowing seeds and growing things and everything, and then start prospering, and suddenly, boom, the enemy comes and destroys everything. When you come, so here is the people of God, Israel, and here is the Church of Christ, okay? So when I'm here, I'm here. So I'm probably going to stay here, up on the stage. When you see the Church of Christ, nowadays, suffering. Sometimes with people, the church, it's not growing, it's doing, the wave of the Spirit comes and has a revival and something happens and the church becomes stronger and to do something, to grow something, even in your life and the general aspect, and then something happened. And people go down. We have so many Christians out of churches. They are not attending church. They don't want to go to church. They are not hearing the word. They are not listening to the Lord. They are not fellowshipping with the Lord. Backsliding. Yeah, good. 6 years to learn one word and I didn't learn yet. Oh my goodness. Backsliding. Because they feel weak. They feel the pressure. They feel the enemy coming every time and destroying. And then what they have. And they, again, go down. They go in that position that they don't like. And say, it's hard. And the people of Israel was in that situation at that time. But when they were, and the verse 6 says that they were impoverished. Midians so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. So you know the story. They were so poor, so desperate, under pressure. And when that situation came, they finally cried out, asking for God's help. And what I believe now, when the Lord is asking me to pray for the body of Christ, he's asking us together to pray for the body of Christ. It's because the body of Christ, people are crying out for his help. Because most Christians have no hope anymore. They don't know what's going on. Church, see the general aspect. We see, I don't know if it's just myself. I'm sorry if it's just myself. But, you know, I can see the weakness of the body of Christ. I know the areas of my life I need to improve, I need to grow. When I see, when I talk to someone, they don't care. When they say, hey, you should go to church. Oh, you should, you know, Jesus Christ. To go to church, to live this kind of life people are living, or no. God is building his kingdom here. God is bringing us back to the position of overcomers. So the position that by examples, people will see in our lives something different. And if I want that authority, I want the word you have, I want the peace you have, I want the joy you have. Woo, that's good. Even brothers and sisters. When I see you guys facing troubles, tough days, and you come to me rejoicing. I love that. I told you like week before recently, because this is the word God put in my heart. Maybe it's going to be whole year of 2019 talking about encouragement, exhorting the church to grow and grow strong. So they were in that position. And finally, what is funny is they cried out. And you know what happened? The Lord heard them. The Lord was hearing them. The Lord was expecting for them to ask for help. God was there for them. Again, if you read the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, again and again, again and again, God was there. And God is telling us, church, He's there for us. He's there for the church of Christ. He's there. The church of Christ has to grow as a strong army, the army of God. This is why He's calling us. He's calling us to be in this position. Because this is the end of times. He's coming back. He wants to see a strong church to be able to go outside and get people for Him. This is the goal. Salvation is the goal. And then the Lord was telling them what He did before. You know, I brought your ancestors from the Egypt. I opened the sea. I did this. I did that. The Lord will always remember you, what He did. And I'm remember. He's remembering you this morning through me. Look yourself. Look what the Lord did, not only in your life, but did for the Church of Christ, for this people. He was always there, and He is always there. When the situation is too tough in your life, just start remembering, because God is going to put in your heart. So, no, remember what I did before. If I did before, I'm going to do it again. We are alive and well. For me, just that part, I'm alive and well. I could go home with this word. I know I'm going to meditate on that. I'm alive and I'm well because of what the Lord did in the past, because what He's doing right now in my life, and because I have the confidence that He's going to keep doing in my future, because God never fails. God's promises has always the yes, always the amen is there for us. Is there for us. So that's awesome, because we know He hears us and He's there for us. The same way that people were suffering that time because they didn't obey the Lord and they weren't hearing the voice of the Lord. Today, the Church of Christ is facing troubles because it's not obeying the Lord, it's not hearing His voice and doing the way they want to do. It's like with Noah, it's the time of Moses, the time of Joshua, the time of the judges, it's the time of David, it's the time, when they stopped obeying the Lord, they had a problem. It's not because the Lord is bad. It's because they opened the door for the enemy to work in their lives. So the church has to understand that. And the verse 13 I want to read, because Gideon replied. So I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Because the Lord said He's going to help them. And he said, I'm sorry, Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midians. Midians. I just feel sorry about him. You know, I feel sorry about people when they say that. You know, no, Pastor, you were preaching this word, you were encouraging me, you were inviting me, you were talking about Jesus, you were doing this, you were doing that. So, but I don't see anything. Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? That's why we need to give example. We are letters from the Lord. They can read from us. He can read us. Where, Lord? So many people, Christians, that one day they had great experiences with the Lord. And then because of their something happened in their lives and they didn't get this message and they didn't get revelation. I don't know what happened. I don't want to know what happened. What I know is so many Christians that are thinking like Gideon and say, no, Lord, I've heard so many great things about you. I've heard about miracles. I've heard about baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've heard about deliverance. I've heard about so many things in the past. Where are you now? But you think it's God the problem? I don't think the problem is God. God's never is never going to be the problem. He's not the problem, church. He's the solution, actually. God's not the problem. He's the solution. And said, Lord, if you are with us, why has all this happened to us? He was blaming God. I trust in the Lord. I gave to the church. I prayed many hours per day. See my situation now? What God did for me? I lost my family. I lost my money. I came back to addiction. I have depression. My son is not attending. My son doesn't want to give his life to Jesus. My life is a mess. My job. Where is God? When people start blaming God, I don't really like. It's the same way happened with Gideon. It's happening now. I've heard that many times. I'm still hearing things. Even if it's not that clear, but when people is murmuring, for me, it's like, where is God? Is he able to see my situation? He is able to see. He knows your situation. He hears you. He hears you when you claim, when you cry out. And he hears you also when you murmur, when you complain. And he speaks to you. He speaks to the Church of Christ. He wants to fix the situation. But because of us, not him, the situation is still in that, is still that facing that situation. We need to hear, we need to obey him. So that was the situation at that time. God is not your or our oppressor. Definitely he's not. He's our savior, actually. He's not. He's not. The enemy was putting, was the oppressor, was putting pressure on the people of God, was stealing God, was stealing his people, was destroying his people. The confidence of that people were down on the floor, on the ground. The enemy, because the enemy saw the open door to attack their lives. And the enemy can see open doors in the Church of Christ to attack the people of Christ today. And that's why we have so many that's not living the best of the Lord. So many that cannot see and cannot say that they are alive and well. There's one scripture in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, I'm going to back up a little bit, because you say, why they were facing that trouble? Pastor, today is tough. We are talking about troubles, the Church of Christ, you know, suffering, everything. You know, yeah, it's just a preparation. He's preparing us. He's making us stronger to help these people get ready. So, why they were living that situation? If I use one word, like I said before, disobedience. Disobedience. In the Deuteronomy 7, he's talking about Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations. So when you get into the land, God will help you to kick out the enemy. I'll just skip this hard names. The nations were there. But then verse 2 says, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them. So the Lord was preparing the way. But he said, and you defeated them. So both working together. Then you must destroy them totally. Totally. Sometimes you don't pay attention, but it's totally. Destroy the Midianites. Totally. One of the people were there. Make no threat. Treaty with them. Treat. Oh, treat. Treaty with them. Make no treaty with them. And show them no mercy. Do not intermarry them with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. Verse 5 says, this is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Sacred stones. Cut down their poles. And burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. You know, he's telling his people, you know, you when you get into the promised land, I'm going to help you to kick all the nations out of there. The enemies will be destroyed. But when you do your part, you have to do this. You destroy them totally. You destroy the altars. You destroy their gods. You destroy the idolatry. You don't mix the people of God. We don't mix people of God with unbelievers, with people that are serving other gods. Don't accept their daughters. Don't accept their sons to mix with your families. So keep pure. Keep pure. We are, you guys are the people of God. And now you guys are the children of God, the body of Christ. So don't do what we don't have to do. Don't mix with the world. Don't sit with them. Don't do the way they do. It's hard to say when you get, I know, you know that. So when people get married with people that are not believers, so Christians getting married with people doing witchcrafts. And then I talked to a Brazilian lady yesterday. She's Catholic, Christian. Catholic? So she's Christian. She got married with guys, atheist. And she said, you know, but he's so good. Actually, I don't really, I know there's a higher power. She speaks like those guys speak. But what's the higher power? She doesn't say Jesus, she doesn't say God. And said, you know, I'm not going to church because I don't really believe in the Bible. Because, you know, of course, the Bible is like after many years, there's so many changings and everything else. Is the husband getting closer to become Christian? Or is the lady, the wife, close to become atheist? I believe the second option. In most of the case, oh, I know someone, my cousin, my uncle, my okay, happens. Amen. Happens. But the Lord is saying, when you go to that nation, destroy them. I'm not telling you, church, to go outside and kill all the unbelievers. No, understand what I'm saying. I'm not creating like something like that. Cult. We're going to be strong. The army of God. We go outside, we kill everyone. No, But you have to kill things in your life. And you have to kill things that is still pleasing the Lord. You have to kill friendships, relationships that you have with people that, but we cannot be friends of them. No, it's dangerous. I have to step back concerning my friends from university because everything they want is to drink and have fun. But I stepped back and I was living my life with God and being an example for them. And now they always ask me about God. Some of them became Christians. Some of them gave their life to Jesus. So this little by little. But something has to happen. So we have to kill that in our lives. We have to change our lives. So this is what the Lord was asking them. In Joshua 24, this is what they're supposed to do. And like I said before, God always gives us the free will to make our own decisions. We have the right to make our own decisions. Joshua 24:14. God is saying something really important through Joshua. He said, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." When it comes from the Lord, it's always like that. Totally, all faithfulness, 100%. God is jealous of me. God is jealous of you. When He's talking about being jealous of us, so you know, He doesn't want, like couples, I'm jealous of her. If Patricia start having a relationship with people that I don't like, I don't think is good, I don't want. I will protect her. In the same way, if I start having relationships, she's jealous of me. She doesn't want. I'm building friendships and everywhere and going. The Lord is the same. If you are building relationship with the world, He's jealous of you. So He wants you back to Him. He wants you back to Him. And the Lord says, serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped before the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But, this is the only part everybody knows. But, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they answered, Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So Joshua is saying, by the Lord, sir, you serve the Lord with all your heart, all faithfulness. Serve the Lord. But if it's too hard for you, see the freedom we have? Free will. And this is hard to hear, church. It's hard to me to hear. It's hard to me to preach. But if you want to serve the Lord, serve the Lord with all your heart. All faithfulness. Destroy every idol you have in your life. Destroy every idolatry you still have in your life. Destroy every relationship that is stopping you to grow in your relationship with God. Destroy everything that is pushing you back. It's moving you back. It's holding you back. We have to destroy things in our lives. And that's hard to hear, but he said, do it. But it's too hard for you. If you don't know, for many, many Christians, it's too hard. It's too hard to stop. Walking holiness is too hard. Not lie anymore? It's too hard. Oh, no, I want to keep partying the way I used to do before. I love to drink the way I used to drink before. I don't mind. I'm once saved forever, so I can do whatever I want. No. Holiness. Holiness. What do you want? It's too hard to serve the Lord? Okay, make the choice. Serve other gods. But if you want, I say, we make our choice. We made our choice. I know you made your choice as well. But you need to teach the people to make choices. We have the power. We have the authority. We have the right to make choices. So we have to teach them. We have to teach our kids how to make choices. I don't have little kids anymore. But I don't agree with that. Oh, 5, 6, 7 years old. So you have the right to make your decision. So if you want to be boy or girl. No, I will teach that he is a boy. The Lord's not teaching you. If you want to walk like you walked before, that's okay. You know, but if you want to walk like this, it's okay too. No, he said, if you want to walk the way I'm teaching you to walk, it's okay. You're going to prosper. But if you want to walk like the world is, like the way you walked before, know me, that's not okay. His choice for us, it's not to choose him. And of course, we have that choice. We can choose him or not him. Like he said, you can walk if too is undesirable. If you don't like to follow the Lord the way he's teaching you to follow, that's okay. You do it, but have consequences. Our choices bring consequences in our lives. You know something I've heard, and I think Patricia heard or told me. You know, you have the choice to choose the seed you're going to sow. You have the choice. What do you want to eat? Pineapple. Ooh, yeah. I would like to eat pineapples, like sweet ones, not this, the sour ones. I miss those ones. Seeds of pineapple seeds. When you sow the pineapple seed after and you take care of that, there's no way to reap something different. Orange. You know, there's no way. That's why it's dangerous when you do something that, you know, with the consequences. These people were working, and they said, destroy all the idols, idolatry. God hates idolatry. If you are putting something before you and God, if money is before you and God, if your family is before you and God, if your time is before you and God, if your job, if your whatever it is, if your celebrations and parties and girls and boys and is before you and the Lord, it's more important for you than God, he doesn't like that. He's telling, okay, you have the choice. You want to serve me or you don't want to serve me? We have the choice. But if you want to serve me, you have to do the way I'm telling you to do. And this is what we are missing. The Church of Christ is missing that. So, okay, I choose to give my life to Jesus Christ. And now I don't have any choice anymore. To live the way I want to live. My choice is to live the way God wants me to live. This is the right way to live. This is going to make you stronger. This is going to make you holy. This is going to make you powerful. This is going to make you like, better every day. We cannot miss that because, you know, I see weakness in the body of Christ because people think, yes, I have the free will to choose God. I choose God to belong. I belong to God. And they are acting like people in the world. The same way God was calling them people of God and they were walking and mixing with other people. And he's saying, okay, you choose, follow me. But now you have to follow the way I want you to follow me. I think he's bringing holiness to the Church of Christ again. He's building his army again. If you have my birth certificate, this just came to my mind. I have a birth certificate. Identity. My documentation, if I have my passport, if you take my passport, my birth certificate, you know everything about me. You know how tall I am. You know where I was born. You know the color of my skin. You know who's my parents. You know everything. So you can read there. When you present your ID to someone, people need to read who you are. Oh, he's children of God. He's a child of God. Oh, he was born again. Oh, he belongs to the heaven. Oh, he has the Holy Spirit inside of him. Oh, the color of his skin is red. Oh, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have our new ID. People need to see that he's building that in the body of Christ again. So we need to present, we need to show who we are. Who we are. And these guys, I don't know where I'm, but I'll find this scriptures here. I just don't want to follow what I prepared. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. It's getting serious this morning, the message. Thank you, Lord. When Moses were leading his people, he did a great job. But you know, when they sent the spies came, didn't believe, just Caleb and Joshua. And that generation died. Didn't believe in God. Then Joshua was there. And Joshua believed in the Lord and he walked. He made mistakes. Church, I'm not saying you won't make mistakes, okay? We make mistakes. It's deeper than that. So the Judges 2:7 says, after the people say, no, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Beautiful. Pastor, stop preaching. There's no way for us to follow gods of this world. No way. The Church of Christ, if you ask Christians outside, if I ask that lady, if I ask somebody, the people that you know are really not following the Lord the way they're supposed to follow, they will say that, of course I'm not choosing gods of this earth. I choose God for sure. And Judges too. So after that, I don't know how many years, 100 years, I don't know. But the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. They were serving the Lord. And this scripture I'm reading just before I finish this, to you to understand the same way God put in Moses' heart, he put in Joshua's heart to lead that people to the promised land, to live the best of the Lord, to have the blessings coming upon them, following them, doing the right thing, being a holy people. The same way he taught, the leaders taught that people to say, you know, put down the idols, the posts, and everything else to praise and worship the Lord. The same way I feel like as the leader of this congregation to do the same. While they were following what God is leading Moses and Joshua and other guys to do it, they were following the Lord. As soon as those guys died. And what I want, I'm the leader here, so follow me. No, you are the leader at your place. You are the leader. You are the representative of God wherever you go. That's why you need to teach this. You need to tell them this. You need to teach by example. Because if you stop saying this kind of message, if you stop doing what God says that we should do, like walk 100% with Him, seeking Him, following Him, then the people will perish. We have great responsibility. Yes, we have churches that we should finish the service in 20 minutes. I understand that. But this is not the church. We'll finish the service in 20 minutes because we need to learn this. He's preparing us. I won't go there further, but if you read how the Lord built the Gideon army, 32,000 people. No, too many. I know, how many? 12,000. Oh, too many. 300. I was listening to a guy saying the number, approximately the number of the enemy enemy's arms, armies. And said, if you had, they had 32,000, they should kill just four of them. Each soldier, we're going to kill just four. It's completely, we are able to do it. Great warriors, it's great, it can kill four. Then it's with 12,000, I don't remember the names, the numbers. Now they have to kill, I don't know, so many of them. You just multiply. But if you have just 300, each soldier should kill like, I think it was like, he said on thousands, 4,000 or something like that. That's impossible. But the God of the impossible said, you know, you go this way, then you won't exalt yourself. You're going to exalt me. But, you know, they were walking in disobedience. So while the leader was teaching them and holding them and encouraging them, so keep walking, keep fighting, keep, you know, moving forward. And this is what I'm doing today in obedience to the Lord. Even if you don't think it's the best message, but it's the most important method I think I'm preaching in this place. That encouraging you to give you all to the Lord. To give you all to the Lord. And if you keep reading Judges 2, the verse 10 says, after that Joshua died and his, you know, the guys were following him died. After that, whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. 11 says, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. One scripture before, I was reading a couple of minutes ago, the people of Israel said, no, of course, we are not going to choose to serve other gods. No way. If you, Joshua, and your family will serve the Lord, we are also. But after a generation, because they didn't have anybody leading them, telling them, putting them together, encouraging them, preaching the word, they stopped hearing about the signs, wonders, and miracles. They stopped hearing about what God did in the past, what God is doing in the present time. They stopped, they were so mixed. Even the God was telling them, and they had that. Say, so don't mix with the people that don't trust in me. Don't give your daughters, don't give your... So because of the situation, because of the situation today, church is like the frog. You know that. If you put the frog in the hot water, he just poof, jump from that water. But if you keep cold water and you warm up little by little, he got so comfortable. He got so, ooh, nice. Ooh, this is really nice, cool, relaxing. And it becomes so hot until the frog dies without jumping from that water. This is what I don't see anymore in the Church of Christ. I don't want to see that in my life. I can tell like Joshua, this is for me and my house. We are going to serve the Lord. This church is going to serve the Lord. If someone needs help, if they need to find someone to help God, sometimes they are not hearing the Lord. They need you to pray for them. You need you to lay hands on them. Those guys said, no, I'm not going to. But after a while, they were giving that. Now we understand why I started with that. Oh, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Now we know why the Lord said, you know, your choice. I'm teaching since the beginning. I'm teaching you. Be obedient, full committed, with all faithfulness. Walk in my in what I'm telling you to walk. It's my way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to be strong. We're going to be a strong church. We are a strong church. Actually, we are a strong church. And we are growing stronger and stronger. And you know, we don't learn. We don't learn. Sometimes our children don't learn with just soft words. Oh, little boy, don't do it. I'll do it. I hate you, Pop. I hate you, Mom. I hate you. I want to do my way. Don't do it, please, okay? Come on. I used to grab Leo from here to talk the same level, you know? Stop speaking with me like that. Don't talk to your mom like that. I'm your authority. I'm the authority here. It's going to be my way. And this is the way. Then I put him back. Make your choice. It's a little bit different. God is more soft than that. Make your choice. You know, I usually count until three. Leo knew. Gracious. Yeah, he's gracious. One, if you keep doing like that, you're going to have problem. Two, if I say three, you're going to have trouble. You'll be corrected. You'll be disciplined. This is the way I used to teach him. And the Lord is saying the same. Okay, you know, choose life instead of death. I'm giving you this opportunity. I'm asking you, please choose life. Okay? But if you want to choose death, I'll say, hey, you were wrong. I'm telling you, one, if you keep doing this way, you're going to have trouble. Woo, I don't care. I don't care. I'm good. I love this world. I love party. Woo-hoo, I'm Christian. I don't care. I can drink. I can do whatever I want. I can, you know, do whatever I want. Whatever you want, you know, whatever you want. You want to do whatever you want? Okay, I'm telling you. Two. And God is good. That's love. And I believe in this time, God said, okay, three. I'll give you to the hands of the Midianites. Consequence. Remember, you can choose your seed. But after you sow the seed, you are going to reap what you sowed. Galatians says that. Whatever you hear, don't mock. I think I have that scripture here. Don't mock. Do not be deceived. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Every last life. I remember one time in John 6, Jesus gave them a tough speech. It was a tough teaching for them. And I believe this morning, because I have that impression in me, was a tough message, giving us more responsibility to be like Jesus Christ. I think this is just the beginning. More responsibility to be like Jesus Christ. So I know it was a tough. But the third point of the conversation. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Because they said, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Then after a while, they just ran away. And I believe two things, there's so many things that are making the Church of Christ or making people, children of God, walking away from the Lord. One is because of what they are experiencing in this world. They are so distracted. They are so involved. They are not killing the altars of the gods. They are not killing and destroying everything. The first thing God asked to Gideon when he called him, hey, great warrior, I want you to fight against this situation. So the first thing God asked him was, put down the gods, the statues, the posts, the altar of worship. Put down whatever is making you like worship, whatever is you are worshiping, it's not the Lord. Just put down the first thing. And then the first thing is this, they're so involved with the world, they are not realize that they are walking away from the Lord. And they are blaming the Lord because of their situation. It's not God's fault. Never is God's fault. God's a good God. God's a God of love. God's merciful. Every time we ask, we cry out, He's there listening to us. He's there for us. All the story, even in the Old and the New Testament, every time we cry out to the Lord, He's there for us. And then Jesus said, He asked His disciples, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. He said, do you also want to go away? So two things. People don't want to hear messages like this. It's too hard. Brings us so much responsibility. We don't want responsibility. Not we, okay? Some people. It's tough. But this is what I felt like doing today. Like Joshua did, like Moses did, like Jesus did. Jesus is tough, tough speech. It's hard to hear, but it's necessary to hear, to grow, to keep us alive, to keep us strong, to keep us holy, to keep us able to fix our mistakes. Because we still make mistakes. We are in a process. Don't worry. Don't bring condemnation on you. It's a process. But we need to have, we have our idea, our identity has to be like Jesus Christ. And he said, do you want to go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's nothing better than follow the Lord. Nothing better. Nothing better. It's not too tough. It's not too difficult. He says, it's not too difficult. Okay, we just need to obey Him. We just need to follow Him. We just need to have pleasure in His presence. We just need to do what He's asking us to do. Amen? And the second thing, is this. People are not hearing. So let's pray for them. They are not obeying, they are not receiving, they are not hearing. They don't want to hear, they are not hearing. Let's pray for open ears to hear the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's bring them closer. Let's make difference in their lives. God is building a great, great, great kingdom on this earth. He's building a great army in this earth. So let's do it, something to help the Lord. Let's help the Lord. He doesn't need help. He needs us. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to finish this. I think it's becoming too hard. God said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do God's will. I'm going to finish with this. I'm not here to do my will, church. I'm going to do God's will. Amen? That's why I didn't approach you today. I'm here. I'm backing up a little bit more. Because of the tough word. But don't say, we're living like this, the Church of Christ like that, because of... No, God's a wonderful God. God's a wonderful God. Take this message. Meditate in this message. We don't want to live like the people were living before. We want to live the way He created us to live. Enjoy His presence every day. Enjoy life. It's possible to enjoy life. You know that? Enjoy life, not the world saying. Partying. So enjoy life. Yes, we party. We celebrate. We have fun. We get drunk in spirit. Don't forget that in the spirit. We have friends, we fellowship, we hang out together, we laugh, we eat, because we have the Lord with us. We have a wonderful life. We have life in us. We are alive and we are well. If you don't feel like that, something's wrong. You have to celebrate. We celebrate. If you hear someone, of course, if I have to say something, hey, Ali, I'm sharing this. You want to pray with me? Okay. I'm facing this situation. I have to pay that. I have to buy this. I have to ask for forgiveness here, forgiveness there. So I have to do things. Can you help me? You know, we are growing. But if you hear someone just complaining, I don't know, just tell them, tell those that are complaining that God is better than that, better than that. And we are not going to live the way they were living that time. We are going to live the way God created us to live. Amen? Can you say amen? More of it? Thank you. Did you receive it? Woo, Lord, thank you so much. Hallelujah. Can you worship team come up here? I know Cindy's not here. I know it's 12 already, but no, just to relax this, guys. Just to relax, to see someone smiling. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.